I'm Tom Hall. It's Friday, and it's midday. Today, another in our series of conversations with the candidates. Maryland Insurance Commissioner Al Redmer Jr. joins me. He is one of two Republicans vying to win his party's nomination in the June primary for Baltimore County Executive. Before he served as the state's chief insurance regulator, he was elected four times as a delegate to the Maryland General Assembly. He also had a career in the insurance and investment business. A recent report by the county's Spending Affordability Committee indicates that its financial future may include some tough decisions on spending and taxes. Can Al Redmer be the first Republican since 1990 to win Baltimore County's top job? Plus, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day with Trio Galilei. They'll play us a dance or two live in Studio A. Midday starts right after the news. And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining us for Midday. Today, another in our series of conversations with the candidates in advance of the June primary elections. My guest today is Maryland Insurance Commissioner and former state delegate Al Redmer, Jr. Mr. Redmer is a Republican, and he is seeking his party's nomination to run in the general election for Baltimore County Executive. That is an open seat. Current County Executive Kevin Kamenetz is completing his second term, and he is prohibited from running for a third. Mr. Kamenetz is running for governor. Al Redmer is one of two Republicans and four Democrats who would like to lead Baltimore County. He has served twice as Maryland's insurance commissioner, managing more than 240 employees and overseeing a $32 million budget. Governor Hogan appointed him to his current job in January of 2015. Mr. Redmer was first tapped for the insurance commissioner's job in 2003 by another Republican governor, Robert Ehrlich. Redmer resigned that post after 2 years to accept a position with Coventry Healthcare. Before taking his first turn as state insurance commissioner, Mr. Redmer spent 13 years in the Maryland House of Delegates, representing District 8 in Baltimore County. Prior to his career in elective office, Mr. Redmer founded and ran an insurance and investment service company. He is 62 years old, a lifelong Baltimore County resident. He and his wife, Sandy, are the parents of five children and the grandparents of seven. They live in the Middle River section of Baltimore County. A little later in the program, we will take your calls and comments, but you can tune in right now on the WYPR Facebook page where we are streaming live, thanks to our digital producer, Jemima Krimple. Al Redmer, welcome to Midday.
Tom, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
It's great to meet you. You got to get through a primary before you get into a general election.
Sure.
So you've got a couple of questions, it seems, to answer. One might be what's going to be different about a Redmer administration than a Kamenetz administration. But before that, what would be different about a Redmer administration from a McDonough administration? Yeah. Delegate Pat McDonough is your opponent.
Sure. I think the answer is the same with both. If elected, I'll have more executive level leadership experience running organizations, both large and small, inside government and out. I'd have more executive level leadership experience, not only more than the current candidates, but more than any county executive in decades, including Mr. Kamenetz and my primary opponent. The other major difference is, candidates will tell you how they are going to govern if elected. Based on my experience, I ask folks to look at how I've governed for the last couple of decades, again, in and out of government. And the business model is always the same, and that is everything we do is open, transparent, and collaborative, collaborating with all of the stakeholders and making informed decisions. And I think that's a primary difference between how I will continue to govern as compared to what we've seen in Baltimore County over the last few years.
What does it mean to be a Republican in this day and age? Your opponent, Mr. McDonough, was an early supporter of President Trump during the election. There seems to be, by some accounts, a pretty big bifurcation in the Republican Party. Governor Hogan, it seems, has endorsed your candidacy, does everything he can to distance himself from the putative head of the Republican Party. What does it mean to you to be a Republican?
So I think fiscally conservative, strong on crime and public safety, I think, are probably the hallmarks. But, I'll disagree to some extent about the claim that Hogan is distancing himself from anybody. Governor Hogan is pragmatic, and he focuses on the issues as opposed to the partisan consequences of those issues. So just because the governor doesn't disagree publicly doesn't mean that he's with or without the president or anybody else for that matter. So, you know, I am a I'm not a partisan guy. In 2002, I was the House Minority Leader. 2003, I was the House Minority Leader with a new Republican caucus. We had new folks after the election. And my first meeting with them, I gave them advice that most did not adhere to. But my advice was, when you're back in the community, or on the House floor for that matter, you should never utter the word Republican or Democrat, because quite frankly, nobody cares. Very few people care about the partisan aspects of government. They want to know that their problems are being addressed, that their problems are being solved, regardless of whether it's being done by a Republican or a Democrat. So for me, I'm going to conduct myself the way that I have always conducted myself. And that is, you know, it's not Republican, it's not Democrat, it's issue oriented. How can we work collaboratively to solve problems for the citizens of Baltimore County?
That's a noble aspiration, and I think a lot of people would give you a high five on that, to be sure. However, the current political climate is so far away from that ideal, is it not? I mean, this is the most bifurcated political environment we've had, perhaps, since the Vietnam War in the 1960s.
It can be, and oftentimes it is, but I invite folks to, don't take my word for it, call anybody that has ever worked with me in the private sector. Call members of the legislature that work with me now in my current capacity or served with me. Call Mike Bush. You don't have to like Mike Bush. You don't have to agree with him. Call him and say,
who's a Democrat?
Who's a Democrat? And say, well, tell me about Al Redmer. What's he like to work with? And I think the answer will be he's focused on solving problems. He doesn't get personal. He doesn't throw partisan bombs. So I think it's all about the way in which you conduct business. So I will work collaboratively with members of the county council, both Republican and Democrat, as I have throughout my career. I'll work collaboratively with members of the General Assembly, whether they be Republican or Democrat, as I have throughout my career. And we'll work collaboratively with all of the stakeholders around the county to address the difficult problems that we have, regardless of the partisan fireworks that happen to be going on around the county, the state, or the country.
Baltimore County is the third largest jurisdiction in the state. The budget's somewhere around $3.5 billion. It's a big job. County Councilman Tom Quirk, who's a Democrat, represents Lansdowne, is the chair of the Spending Affordability Committee. They have a report that they released recently, and he has waved some red flags. He has said that the county is in danger of falling short on two things, spending and savings, so that they're in his committee's job is to recommend what to spend and how much to save. I'm not exactly sure what the saving part of that means. Perhaps you can explain. But Mr. Quirk says that the next executive will face immense challenges and that the council and the executive will be forced to address. That's news to a lot of people, because most people think, Baltimore County just, you know, everything's just running smooth.
So Tom is, Councilman Quirk is exactly right. Quite frankly, that's part of the challenge that excites me about the possibility of serving. I love challenges and solving problems. He's got it half right, though. There are significant challenges on the financial side regarding the resources that are available to solve the problems. Equally as disturbing, though, are the number of unmet needs in Baltimore County because of the county executive's failure to address them. Consistently for a number of years, he has failed to invest in basic infrastructure like buildings. We know the school controversies, but facilities in general, technology, equipment, employee training. There are a lot of unmet needs around the county, and this is Executive Leadership 101. I've got the ability and the background of setting the tone with the right temperament and creating the culture. I know how to set expectations and accountability, and I know how to drive operational and organizational results as a result of that. So what it's also clear, in addition to the lack of addressing these needs, there is no long-term plan in Baltimore County. There is no multi-year budget. It's been an annual scramble for dollars. That's no way to run any organization, whether it's a private industry or government.
Is there any other jurisdiction in Maryland that has a multi-year budget?
I think they all do. I'm not an expert in other counties, but you cannot run an organization on an annual basis. You need to look at the out year. So what we're going to do with the Redmer administration is, I mentioned, I'm going to work collaboratively with the council, the legislature, and all of those stakeholders out there. We need to go around the county, councilmatic district by councilmatic district, and we need to identify all of the problems, all of the pent-up issues in the county. Step two, we need to quantify those needs. Step three, we need to prioritize those needs. And then finally, we need a long-term plan and a multi-year budget to dig ourselves out of the significant problems that we're in.
You've proposed creating the Office of Inspector General,
yes,
doing a top-to-bottom audit. That's something, frankly, sir, that we hear from a lot of people running for a position for the first time. They're looking from the outside. Oh, you know, they're not taking care of business the right way. They're not allocating funds in a systematic and pragmatic way. What is the Office of Inspector General going to do? What do you expect to find when you do what you're suggesting is something that hasn't been done heretofore?
So I have traveled the county. I have met with citizens that rely on the county for basic services. I've met with school teachers and police officers and firemen, and I have heard the stories. And if you'd like, I'll give you a couple of them that would just boggle your mind about the inefficiency and the waste in county government. And you're right. Candidates say it all the time. I've heard the stories. So we need to do a couple things at the same time. We need to go through the county, around the county, going through this process of identifying the needs, developing a long-term plan and a multi-year budget. But at the same time, we need to systematically go through the county, look at every process that we are engaged in, and look at what's going well and where is there room for improvement. And there's plenty of room for improvement, but it's got to be a systematic approach. So an analogy would be, in my current capacity, our agency is in the final stages of an audit performed by the Department of Legislative Services.
And this is the Insurance Commission you're talking
about. The Maryland Insurance Administration. So the Department of Legislative Services, they send in an auditor, a team of auditors periodically, and they go through our agency and look at what we do and how we do it and why we do it, and they make specific recommendations, and they do that around state government. That needs to occur throughout the county. We need to develop the metrics and benchmarks to measure ourselves. So again, with a Redmer administration, we're going to be judged not on the rhetoric, but on the results of our performance.
Let's talk about high school construction. Mm-hmm. Lots of controversy around Mr. Kamenetz's suggestion just a few weeks ago to build a new high school to replace the current Delaney High School. That didn't sit too well with the folks in Lansdowne who agreed to having their high school renovated rather than a new one. They want a new one. Towson High School is going to be nuked and made into a new high school. Right? What is the proper way forward for meeting the educational needs, particularly in the physical infrastructure for schools?
So again, this whole process is an example of an administration with no plan, no compass. The county executive said at Delaney, we're not going to build a school. And then miraculously, a few weeks ago, Governor Hogan scheduled a cabinet meeting in Baltimore County. So every member of the governor's cabinet was in Baltimore County for the entire day. All of us had, in aggregate, 100 visits throughout Baltimore County, meeting with business folks and nonprofits and citizens. Kevin Kamenetz found out that Governor Hogan was going to visit Delaney that day. It was a Monday, and 3 or 4 days before that, he miraculously decided, now we're going to build a new school. The governor quipped that he didn't know whether the county executive saw the light or whether he felt the heat.
Well, I mean,
may have been both.
And I take your point. Whether or not it was a political decision or not, is it the right one?
No. Well, it's the right one to build the school, and we do need to build a new school in Lansdowne. I mean, I was in Lansdowne. I've toured it. It is pathetic that students are in that position. But again, that is the long-term failure to adequately invest in adequate facilities in Baltimore County.
So, can the county afford 3 new high schools, Towson, Lansdowne, and Delaney?
I don't know that we can do all 3 at the same time. We've got to go through that analysis. I also think, though, that we need to identify, are there ways to be more creative with the schools that we're building? Number one, we need to engage in the public safety community and build smart schools from a standpoint of public safety. So I think we need to make some improvements there. If we're going to spend the money anyway, let's build them right. Secondly, we need to explore if there's an opportunity to be creative. So rather than writing, number one, the cost of construction of $400 to $500 a square foot, experts, and I'm not an expert in construction, they tell me we're paying way too much. And as part of just the process of government bureaucracy.
But if you can't do all 3 at one time, we've got to take a little break. But just very quickly, what's the order of importance then? Towson, Delaney, and then Lansdowne?
I don't know that because I haven't done the entire review yet. Again, it's got to be open, transparent, and collaborative. More importantly, we may be able to build 3. I think we need to be creative about the financing of the school. So as an example, to what extent can we do more if we privatize the construction? In other words, find a developer to build the school on our behalf and then lease it back for a 20 or 30 year period. We get the option to buy it if we want. We can probably do more with less if we find ways to get a little bit more creative.
All right, well, speaking of development, we will take up that very subject when we come back from a quick break. Al Redmer Jr. is the Maryland Insurance Commissioner and a former state delegate representing Baltimore County's 8th District. He is one of 2 Republican candidates seeking the nomination to be the next Baltimore County Executive. Quick break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with Al Redmer. We'll take your questions and comments. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. To find us on Twitter, @MiddayWYPR. We are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is your public radio, 88.1 WYPR.
Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up Monday, we will continue our series of conversations with the candidates. Democratic Baltimore County Councilwoman Vicki Allman will be my guest. She is one of 4 Democrats in the race for Baltimore County Executive. So Vicki Allman joining me here on Monday on Midday. If you just joined us today, I'm talking with Al Redmer Jr. He is one of 2 Republicans seeking the nomination to be the next Baltimore County Executive. You are welcome to join our conversation at 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org, to find us on Twitter @MiddayWYPR, and we are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. One more question, Mr. Redner,
sure,
about schools, and that is the interim school superintendent, Verletta White. You have called for her resignation. Baltimore County now embroiled in the schools embroiled in a big controversy. The former school superintendent, Dallas Dance, has pleaded guilty to fraud and corruption, not reporting income he made from private vendors. What's your confidence in the integrity of the school system? What's your confidence in Ms. White? What do you think should happen?
So before I address that, let me go back to the school construction issue and mention that as you mentioned, I've been endorsed by Governor Hogan. We have a terrific working relationship. And as it relates to building three schools, I believe that if I am the county executive and Governor Hogan is in his second term as governor, it is much more likely that we'll be able to get the state support to build three schools and possibly build them at the same time. Back to Verletta White. She's there. She's there for the time being, and the school board will make whatever decision they make.
Yeah, search process is underway
regarding a search. I'm concerned in part by the lack of engagement that has existed with the current county executive, Kevin Kamenetz. As Dr. Dance went on his spending spree and engaged in the activity that he engaged in, other than the disclosure, they pretty much knew what was going on, and turned the other turned.
Who pretty much knew?
The county executive knew that Dallas Dance was working on behalf of that organization, and that they were in Baltimore County.
That's a claim I can't confirm sitting here. But forgive me, but we have so many things to talk about.
Sure.
That was then. This is now.
Right.
You're not running against Kevin Kamenetz.
That's exactly right. So the moral of the story is, I believe the county executive. And I hope that I'm that one needs to be much more engaged in the issue of education in Baltimore County. In my 13 years in the House of Delegates, we were in every school in the district multiple times a year, meeting with teachers, students, and parents. We were very engaged into what was going on in Baltimore County schools from an educational perspective, facilities, et cetera. That has not been the case, and that is my pledge to the citizens of Baltimore County. I will be engaged. I will know what's going on. Now, I certainly understand the separation of powers between the school board, the administration, and the county executive, but you cannot be a strong advocate for the teachers. You can't be a strong advocate for the parents or the students if you're not engaged in the education system and know what's actively going on a real-time basis.
Let's talk about development in general. You talked about the possibility of private developers building mm-hmm. some of these new schools that are needed. You've had this sort of stagnation of the development at Towson Row. Mm-hmm. There's been a big dirt hole there for several years. The county council voted last December, just at the end of the year, subsidize, for lack of a better word, about $43 million in an assistance package to jumpstart that program. Councilman David Marks represents Towson. He was one of the Republicans who voted against it. This came down by party lines. The mm-hmm. Dems wanted, the Republicans didn't. Where do you stand on Towson Row, and where do you stand in general as a political philosophy on the need to subsidize developers for projects like this?
So I'm not a big fan of subsidizing companies of any sort on a normal going basis. In this one specifically, I'm going to take a step back. As government officials and those in the private sector, every day we make important decisions regarding what I will refer to as policy decisions. But the bigger question are the process questions. So with Towson Row specifically, I do not believe that it was open. I don't believe it was transparent. Certainly, it was not collaborative. That, in my opinion, ended up being a bailout. The reason Towson Row was not moving forward was because the developers on the front end failed to do their due diligence with engineering. And they noticed, and once they got into it, they noticed some problems with rocks and all that kind of stuff. The project had to change. The financials changed. And this ended up being a sweetheart bailout, in my opinion, for that project. Now, I'm not suggesting.
So the better solution would have been to just find a new developer.
No, I'm not suggesting that. What I'm suggesting is that that process should have been opened up, should have been much more transparent, and there should have been a longer dialogue and review of what the decision was and why it was being made. My recollection is that from the time that the county executive announced it to the time that the county council approved it, I believe it was less than a week. And I just think it's inappropriate for county government to be spending $43 million on anything without it having the scrutiny of public discussion.
The issue of the county's involvement in any development project came to the fore about this dispute concerning the proposal to build a Royal Farms gas station and store at a very busy intersection in Towson. Whether or not that's a good idea to have a gas station there or something else, the fact of the matter is the county green-lighted this program. A bunch of trees were chopped down in anticipation of the construction. And then they said, nope, we've changed our minds. Now, residents in the area were certainly opposed to it. There were a number of factors, you know, a number of people not supporting the idea of doing it. But what kind of precedent does that set to a developer? In this case, it's the Caves Valley Partnership. They've got a lot of developments, a whole lot of places. It's a very big company. But what kind of precedent does that set in terms of people doing business with Baltimore County? Can they count on the county as a reputable and you know, credible partner?
No, it has nothing to do with Caves Valley or this particular project. But I have, as I mentioned, I travel the county meeting with individuals on a consistent basis. And I have heard firsthand from business owners that will not do business with Baltimore County because they've been burned in the past. For a whole variety of different things. So, again, I'm a process guy. The executive branch of government is there to implement the law. And, yeah, I think you need to do it, and you need to do it on a consistent basis. The problem that we find in government, anywhere in government, is when the rules are not enforced fairly or they're not enforced consistently. When business in any industry, if they're not confident what the rules are, they are less likely to make an investment here as opposed to someplace else where they have more confidence as to what the rules are.
See if we can get a couple of calls and emails. There's an email from a fellow graduate of Perry Hall High School. Carrie says, I've not heard any mention of Kingsville or Perry Hall. I graduated, this is in regard to school construction, I graduated from Perry Hall in 2006. It was overcrowded. There were plans for a new high school. Almost 12 years later, the population has grown. The rating has dropped. And she says her sister is searching for a private school for her niece. Is Perry Hall also in the mix when it comes to new schools?
It has been for, as Carrie mentioned, a decade. And that's got to be part of that countywide analysis of identifying all the issues and putting together a long-term plan.
Let's go to the phones. Patty in Towson, welcome to Midday with Al Redmer.
Hi, Mr. Redmer.
Hey, Patty.
I'm a registered nurse, and I work in a primary care setting. And every day, every week, I spend way more time than I care to communicating with insurance companies.
Me too.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of concerned. I don't know how you would look out for me as a resident of Baltimore County, because I don't feel like you've looked out for us as insurance commissioner, because the insurance companies, and certainly I know they're a business and they have to survive, but I feel they are more looking for, you know, CEO bonuses or something. I fight for every stupid thing. I understand if there's an expensive drug, I totally understand they want justification on why they should spend that money on that drug. I get that. They take my patients' money and they throw every barrier over stupid stuff. Cheap drugs that have been around a long time, that there's evidence that what they are used for works, and you even have to justify prescribing something like that for someone. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, well, Patty, thank you for your call. Mr. Redmer, you're, you know, regulating an industry that has been in the fore of everybody's consciousness for, gosh, 10 years.
So let's talk about the rates and the hurdles. As I mentioned previously, the executive branch of government, we're there to implement the laws that the General Assembly gives us. So when it comes to approving insurance rates or not, we are bound by the standards that exist in state law. Those standards are that the rates have to be actuarially justified, so they have to give us their data. The rates cannot be excessive, so we can't allow excessive rates based on their business and their expenses. The rates also cannot be inadequate. By law, we cannot approve a rate if we don't believe it's sufficient to cover their expenses. And in the individual market that everybody has concern about, including me, the carriers have lost in aggregate over the last few years over $500 million. So they lose every time they bring in a dollar, they lose a dollar 5, 10, or 15 cents before they pay anybody's salary, before they pay anybody's their taxes or anything else. So we have to use the standards. Now, this last year, because of the significant rate increase by CareFirst, we erred on the side of a second opinion. We have actuaries. We sent all the data to an independent outside actuarial consultant who recommended that we should approve rates higher than we actually did. And for the record, the rates that we did approve were about $200 million less than what they actually wanted. It's also interesting to note, we have to use the standards in law. Not one legislator, Republican or Democrat, has submitted legislation to change those standards. So we have to do what they tell us to do.
Should the standards be changed?
No, I don't believe that they should, because, again, if we allow companies to continue to bleed money, we will not have any carriers in the individual market. We started with five or six. We're down to two. These are the rules that were given to us by the federal government. And until Congress puts together their partisan differences and bring change, we're going to be in trouble. Now, I will say that the governor and the legislative leaders are working on a solution as we speak that could involve state money to moderate next year's increases. And they're working together in a nonpartisan way to change the rules. And we'll see what happens. Patty, regarding the hurdles that you encounter, the Maryland Insurance Administration, we handle thousands of consumer complaints every year. So in the event that an insurance carrier is providing a hurdle, denying a claim that is inappropriate, you come to us. We have investigators that will investigate that claim and make a determination whether the carrier is complying with the law or not. If they are not complying with the law, or the regulations, we have tools at our disposal. We can make them pay claims that they don't want to pay. We can make them provide services that they don't believe that they should provide. And then finally, our office, the Maryland Insurance Administration, is very actively involved in this legislative session, again, working collaboratively with Republicans and Democrats in Annapolis, trying to provide some incremental benefit to the cost of these high cost of pharmaceutical projects. Not sure if anything's going to pass, but we're working hard trying to improve it.
We got about 5 minutes left. A couple other things I'd love to ask you about. One is affordable housing. You've got 800,000 plus people living in Baltimore County. The county's under a consent decree with the Department of Housing and Urban Development about allowing affordable housing at various places. The idea behind it is to not concentrate it all in one place. What is the answer to affordable housing? What can you do to resolve this consent decree is it a priority for you to have affordable housing available in Baltimore County?
So affordable housing is an issue. I mean, we have right now, if you look at the demographics, we have thousands of young folks in their 20s, let's say, that are going to areas like Canton and Fells Point and so on. And at some point, as they get married and they begin having children, they're going to look to migrate back to Baltimore County, and they need to have places to live that are affordable. And I think what we have to do is reevaluate the the process of approving developments in Baltimore County. So there are there's a process in place and standards in place for small developments. There are processes in place for larger developments. The if you're building a large development, you can get the per unit price down just because of the economy of scale. If you're building smaller developments with two or three or four units, it's tough to do that because of the lack of scale that is involved. And when you look at Baltimore County, you know, there's no large development occurring above that urban development line at the northern part of the county. And as you go around the Beltway, there are no big development opportunities, not many, that are left.
But what about the politics of it?
I mean, sure.
5 years ago in Rosedale, the county rejected an application for tax credits to build 50 low-income units in Rosedale. The residents there said, if we have Section 8 housing here, subsidized housing, it will bring in an element that we don't want to bring in. I mean, there's no neighborhood in Baltimore County that's going to jump for joy at Section 8 housing. What do you say?
Well, you don't have to have Section 8 housing to have affordable housing, number one. And I was referring to affordable housing. We need affordable housing regardless of Section 8. And I think we do that by reevaluating the process. The folks that have concerns about Section 8, they don't have problems about the building. They have problems about what goes on around the building, or that the building is allowed to deteriorate, and that there's a lack of enforcement of standards and those kinds of things. So Baltimore County needs to get cleaned up. And if somebody has, if they have Section 8 housing today, we need to make sure that those landlords are imposing standards and appropriate living conditions, and that we're not creating a quality of life issue for the surrounding areas. So one of the first things we're going to do is make sure that these existing Section 8 facilities are held to higher standards.
Al Redmer Jr. is the Maryland Insurance Commissioner and a former state delegate. He is running against Delegate Pat McDonough in the June 26 primary for the Republican nomination to be the next Baltimore County Executive. Thank you, Mr. Redmer. It's great to meet you.
Enjoy being here. Thank you.
Early voting in the June primary begins in 91 days. Coming up after a short break, we shift gears from politics to period music. Trio Galilei is going to join me live right here in Studio A in exactly 90 seconds. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.